Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
What's up, guys? Lucky week number 13 of the NFL season is in the books. And I mean, it was heartbreaking, actually, because, you know, with the Thursday night game and the afternoon game, or the early games, I should say, on Sunday, going into the three afternoon games and the Sunday night game, I was, I think, what, 7-1, something like that. My only defeat, the only pick I got wrong in the early games was somehow the Cardinals beating the Steelers, which I think all of us got wrong, and a lot of us put heavy points on the Steelers. But then the three games in the afternoon, I only got one of those wrong. So going into Sunday and Monday night, I was 9-2. So going into Chiefs, Packers, going into Jaguars and Bengals, I was 9-2. Well, I believe as most of, if not all of us, we lost both of those games. The Packers beat the Chiefs. The Jags took it to overtime but couldn't get past the Bengals after Trevor Lawrence got hurt. And what the real bitch of it is, I had my two heaviest confidence points on those games. So I was 9-2 going into Sunday night with, I think, like 60-something points, maybe. But I had 25 waiting to be claimed. 13 if the Chiefs win, 12 if the Jags win, and I lost both of those games. So, yeah, it was a disaster. It was a disaster. I mean, I started off as well as one possibly could and then crashed and burned, you know. It's like, because combined with the afternoon games on Sunday, the Sunday night game, and the Monday night game, I went from, 7-1 to 9-4. So I went 2-3 in those last five games. It's bananas. Bananas. And I had some heavy points on just about all those games. The games that I only lost four games. But the point totals on the games that I lost, I put 10 on the Steelers, lost that. I only put 2 on the Browns, beating the Rams, because I wasn't sure the Browns could do it, but I was banking on that defense, and yeah, that didn't work out. But I put 13 on the Chiefs and 12 on the Jaguars. So I lost 25 points there, 10 more on the Steelers. So I lost 37 points in my four losses this week. Yeah, that sucks. That absolutely sucks. So let's go ahead and recap. You know, it's like you'll hear a lot of this, you know, but the ones that go this way, yeah, those ones hurt bad. So let's go ahead and get started. This is the Week 13 review episode of the fourth phase. So let's get to it. Welcome to the fourth phase, presented by Bears Talk Underground and Sports Drink Media. And now, your host, Larry D. So disappointing. I mean, and it got off to such a promising start, you know, with, like I said, through the Thursday night game and, you know, through the 12 o'clock games here in the Midwest. Yeah, as of like 3 o'clock on Sunday, I was 7-1. Things were looking good. You know, I was like, I'm going to have a hell of a week and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And it just, like, the Jags over the Bengals and the Chiefs over the Packers just seemed like gimmies. They really did. And it's just, yeah, didn't get either one of those games right. And the only game I got wrong in the afternoon only cost me 2 points, so big deal. You know, yeah, it sucks that I got the Steelers game wrong, but it was only one game, and, you know, I hit on everything else kind of thing. But it's just like I got all my big games wrong, all but one double-digit, because we had 10, 11, 12, and 13, because we had six teams on the bye, so three fewer games. So the highest point total of the week was 13. And I got my 13 game wrong, I got my 12 game wrong, and I got my 10 game wrong. So three out of the four values with double digits this week, I got those games wrong. I don't know who I put. I think I put 11 on the Cowboys or somebody like that. But the one 11 point, you know, my one 11 point game, that's the only one that I got right. Everything else with double digits, I got wrong. So the flip side is I only got one single digit game wrong, but, you know, big deal. So, but anyway, guys, let's go ahead and dive right in. And as we do on our review episodes, we begin with the pick six. Only three games in the pick six this week. Spoiler alert, I got them all right because it was the Thursday game, and we had one of the early games that I got right, and the game of the year, the Niners and the Eagles, which turned out to be anything but, you know, as basically San Francisco kind of imposed their will on the Eagles. And we'll talk about that here in just a few moments. But we begin on Thursday Night Football, where we had a matchup between the Seahawks and the Cowboys. Both these teams playing on Thursday for the second week in a row. Both these teams played on Thanksgiving. The Cowboys played in the afternoon game. The Seahawks played the Niners on the late game. But, you know, the difference here being that they weren't doing it on short rest. They had a full week of practice. They had a full week of rest and preparation to get ready for this game. And frankly, it showed, especially on the Seahawks side of things, because this game, it was virtually a game of Madden out there. 41-35, the final score there. The Seahawks came out really, really hot in the first half. They had the ball four times, and they scored three touchdowns. And the one time they didn't score, they missed a field goal. So they were leading 21-20 at halftime, and then in the second half is where things really kind of started to fall apart for Seattle. I mean, it took until the middle of the fourth quarters, but the Cowboys finally figured out how to stop the Seahawks, because the Seahawks came out and in the second half scored two more touchdowns to push their total to 35. And I think they were still winning the game at that point. So it's like the Seahawks led until the middle of the fourth quarter. And then Seattle's last three drives of the game were all turnover on downs, because I think Geno Smith threw an interception in the second half at one point, but it didn't result in any points for the Cowboys, if I'm not mistaken. So, or maybe I'm thinking of a different game. Let me double check real quick. But I mean, it was that kind of game where it just kept going and going and going and going, going back and forth with the points. And everything. Like I said, the Seahawks were just on fire out of the gate. I mean, they for a team that looked so bad against the 49ers, for a team that could not catch a break, especially in the first half. I mean, it was a game-long epidemic for them, but especially in the first half. The Seahawks lived inside their own 10-yard line as far as starting field position in that game. In this one, you know, they were luckier, but it's like they were killing the Cowboys with big plays. Their first touchdown drive, three plays, 75 yards on that drive. And it was all on one play, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, the 73-yard touchdown pass to DK Metcalf, you know, and it just, you know, then the Cowboys respond with a touchdown. Then there was the missed field goal with Seattle. The Cowboys then went up 17-7 with another touchdown. And then the Seahawks were off to the races, because their next three drives were all touchdowns. Two in the second half and the opening drive of the second half. So that's where how they went into the half at 21-20 and then took a 28-20 lead there in the start of the half. And then, like I said, the interception that, that Geno Smith threw, so I was thinking of the right game. Geno Smith did throw an interception in the late in the third quarter, but it ended up being a four and out for the Cowboys. They were in Seattle territory. They went for it on fourth and two. They came up short, so they gave the ball back to Seattle. And then what you thought might be a back-breaking moment for the Cowboys, the Seahawks went five plays and 70 yards, went right back down the field, scored a touchdown, another one for DJ Metcalf. I think that was his – was that his second or his third? No, it was his – yeah, it was his third of the game, actually. That was his third touchdown, yeah, of the game. So they went up 35 to 27 in that drive. And there were I mean, it was still early in the fourth quarter, so you're thinking, you know, they haven't figured out how to stop him yet. And but, you know, it was like I said, after that touchdown drive, the next three drives for the Seahawks were all turnover on downs. They had their next drive, 10 plays, 29. I don't know how you manage 10 plays when you only move the ball 29 yards. I don't know how that's possible. But the Seahawks managed to pull that off. Then they give the ball back to the Cowboys, and that's when the Cowboys took the lead. Because after their last touchdown, the Cowboys answered with a field goal. It's 35-30. Then the turnover on downs. Then the Cowboys scored their last touchdown when Prescott found Ferguson, the tight end, in the end zone and took the two-pointer to make it a field goal game, 38-35. Turnover on downs for the Seahawks. Cowboys come back with another field goal drive to make it 41-35. Turnover on down for the Seahawks. That's your ball game. Right there. So, I mean, it's regarded as the best Thursday night game of the year, and no doubt, but unlike virtually every other Thursday night game except maybe the opener of the season, this was, you know, the outlier as far as Thursday night games go because both teams had a full week to get ready. So it wasn't like it was a miraculous Thursday night shootout because these teams just played on Sunday afternoon. No, they played the previous Thursday, so they had a full week of rest and preparation and everything. So, I mean, it was a valiant effort from the Seahawks, but it was like right after they scored that last touchdown to make it 35 to 27. And like I said, it kind of felt like a back-breaking moment for the Cowboys. Like they might actually lose their first home game of the season. And, no, they – they answered with a field goal. So, yeah, confidence is not shot. And then offensively, it just went downhill for the Seahawks after that. Three drives in that fourth quarter. And, you know, they got nothing out of it. 29 yards on that 10-play drive, 24 yards. So that's 53 plus 25 more at the end of the game. So three drives, only 78 yards on 20 plays. So, yeah, and it's it just didn't work out for the Seahawks. Then basically, even though it ended in regulation, it was one of those games where the Cowboys just kind of outlasted the Seahawks. They just couldn't keep it up with the scoring. The Cowboys are as an explosive an offense as there is in the NFL right now, or at least when they're playing most teams. This is the first team with a winning record that the Cowboys have beaten all season, and you see the effort that it took. It's like as scary as the Cowboys can be, they don't frighten anybody that they're going to run into in the playoffs. And when I say run into in the playoffs, I mean the 49ers or the Eagles. I mean, and the Cowboys have the Eagles this coming Sunday, and so we'll see if the Cowboys have it in them to put their big boy pants on and actually, you know, take on a good team, because they have the Eagles at home next Sunday night on Sunday Night Football. Then they're at Buffalo, at Miami, home for the Lions, and then at the Commanders to close out the season. So, I don't know. We'll see, because the Bills are a .500 team right now. But if they've got it figured out on offense, because they've scored over 30 points, including, what, 30, 34, something like that, against the Eagles last Sunday, because they were on a bye week this week. But if they've figured out their offense, will they be able to, generate enough points against the Cowboys to make that one interesting, if not pull off the upset? Can the Cowboys step up against the Eagles, because they came up short in Philly earlier this year? It was a one-score game, but, you know, any time that the Cowboys have played, and this isn't just this season, but virtually any other time, they do what the good teams do, and that's they beat up on the inferior teams, the weaker teams, the losing teams. But when it comes to, you know, and I think I made this analogy in the preview show, they're a bully. And when they run into another bully, they're the ones that walk away harmed, you know. So, yeah, we will we'll see. And we'll, obviously that's going to be a game that we feature in the pick six this week, talking about Cowboys and Eagles. But I banked on the Cowboys, and they came through for me. Denver at Houston. Very interesting football game. It came with a very crazy kind of ending there, and a lot of regret on the side of the Broncos. But they played another one of these close games, and for only the second time in 6 weeks, they actually came up short this time. But in the early going, Houston was very much in charge. Shutting down the Broncos completely on offense, aside from a late field goal in the second quarter, it was a shutout half for the Texans. You know, they were up 13-3 at the half, and a lot of the credit for that goes to that Broncos defense, because even though they gave up 13 points, the two field goals Houston kicked from the Denver 11 and the Denver 20. So both of those were red zone trips where the defense finally cinched up and had, you know, the Texans had to settle for field goals. It also happened again in the third quarter as well. The last field goal that the Texans kicked in the second half was also inside the Denver red zone. So while 13-3 or 13-0, you know, especially going to that final minute of the first half is a bad look, it's a lot better than 21-0, because that's how it was looking as the Texans were marching their way down the field on them and everything. So it was the defense coming in clutch as far as, you know, getting stingy at the right time on those drives. And when Houston was trying to deliver that killer blow, the defense really stepped up. Yeah, that first drive when they went up 3-0, they got all the way down to Denver 11 and had to settle for the field goal. They did get a 10-play, 75-yard drive on the ensuing drive, so they were able to get that one in to score from 3 yards out. Damian Pierce rushing touchdown. And then after another punt, 7 plays, 69 yards, they got down to the Denver 20 and came up short there, had to settle for another field goal. So, I mean, while the first half was all Houston, because it wasn't until the, what was it? Yeah, there was a buck 24 to go in the half when the Broncos finally put a decent drive together where they 13 plays, 56 yards, like 5 minutes to go in the half. They kicked the field goal with a minute 24 to go, to send it to 13-3 at the half. And then in the second half, it was basically more of the same, because the Broncos led off with another punt. I mean, they actually lost 6 yards on the drive, then another field goal. And it was 7 plays, 40 yards for the Texans. And they got down to the 20-yard line of the Broncos. Couldn't make it happen. Had to settle for the field goal. So, I mean, it's 16-3, but again, Houston, who's been so dangerous on offense, you know, very potent with C.J. Stroud finding, and I wonder how much of that was was due to Tank Dell, one of C.J. Stroud's favorite targets, being knocked out of the game. On the Damian Pierce touchdown run, he got folded over and ended up with a broken leg in that game. I don't know if it's one of the – I mean, with only five games left, I don't know. I think Houston would have to make a deep playoff run to possibly see Tank Dell again, depending on how severe the fracture is or the break or anything. But it was a broken leg. They had to cart him off. And like I said, there were, you know, two more field goal drives after that, and I wonder how much he may have been missed on those drives. But Nico Collins made up for it. He had a fantastic game in this one. Yeah, Collins, 9 catches, 191 yards, and a touchdown in this one. And Tank Dell did not record a catch, even a target, in the game. So, I mean, that's how, yeah, he was missed in the game. But, yeah, so, I mean, 9 catches for Nico Collins. He more than made up for what they were missing. But just having the option of Tank Dell, who, like I said, has been one of C.J. Stroud's favorite targets this year, you wonder how maybe one or two of those touchdown drives could have gone the distance had he been out there during that game. But after the field goal for the Texans to put them up 16-3 in the third, they trade punts, and then finally the Broncos put a drive together. 3 plays, 58 yards. Wilson finds Cortland Sutton for a 45-yard touchdown. Now we got a ball game. It's 16-10, and that's the thing. I mean, as Bear fans, for those of you that are Bear fans listening to this, we know, because we saw it happen over and over again under Matt Nagy, where we're settling for field goals instead of scoring touchdowns. And, you know, when it's going that way, just to keep pace, you have to score twice for every one touchdown that you allow. 3 times if you want to take the lead. So, I mean, here it is. The Texans have scored 4 times with 3 field goals and a touchdown, and the Broncos scored their first touchdown. All of a sudden, it's a one-score game, just like that. And, you know, but then after that is where it all kind of started to fall apart as well for the Broncos, because on the next drive for the Broncos, Wilson throws his first interception, and the Texans take that for a touchdown. 4 plays, 21 yards. Stroud finds Nico Collins for his 1 touchdown play. The 2-point attempt fails, so it's 22-10 at that point. Then Denver answers, and again, here comes the danger of settling for field goals, because now it's a 5-point game. Denver scores a touchdown. Again, Wilson found Will Lutz. Or excuse me, not Will Lutz. Wilson ran it, and then Will Lutz kicked the extra point. That's what happens when I'm just searching for the names in these play-by-plays. But, yeah, Wilson runs it in from 1 yard out. Now it's 22-17. But unfortunately for the next 2 drives, Denver ended their drives with interceptions. And the defense was being stingy. They didn't allow any more points, you know, but the second interception didn't lead to points for Houston, but it sucked almost 5 minutes off the clock for the drive that the Texans went on after that. You know, 4 minutes, 57 seconds taken off the clock, and Wilson threw that interception with 9.5 minutes to go. So now there's less than 5 minutes to go after that. And even still, the Broncos, with their 2 interceptions, you know, they get the ball back. They're only down 22-17. There's 4 minutes to go in the game. The Broncos went on a 14-play, 72-yard drive, got them all the way down to the Houston 8-yard line. And 2 shots. It was 1st and goal from the 8. First 2 shots were unsuccessful, and then the 3rd shot into the end zone resulted in the game-killing interception. Wilson looks like he was going for, I think it says Krull, the interception, and it was intercepted by Ward for the Texans. And, you know, obviously Houston kneels on it for the final play of the game. Yeah, because that play happened with like 10 seconds to go. This is when the last interception took place. So Wilson's third and final interception all in the second half is what did the Broncos in there. But, I mean, like I said, that's going to sting because even with the first two interceptions, the first one led to the touchdown that basically won the game for Houston. The second one, like I said, didn't result in points. But the drive that Houston went on took five very crucial minutes off of the clock. And then even despite all of that, the Broncos still had a shot. You know, even the touchdown without an extra point gives them the lead and everything. But it was the Texans who made the big play in the end zone with the interception to hold off the Broncos 22-17. Houston stays relevant. They're right on the fringe of a playoff berth. They're not back in yet, but they're right there because they're behind Indy and Cleveland, both at 7-5 right now, who I think are 6-7 in the playoff race right now. But Houston stays there, and with the way that Cleveland is struggling, and Indy can be very erratic at times. They just happen to be benefiting from a fairly weak schedule at this point. I wouldn't count the Texans out yet, but they got the win, and I got my pick right. Finally, on Sunday afternoon, the Fox America's Game of the Week. And, yeah, I mean, this was kind of sizing up to be the game of the year, frankly. You know, the Eagles and the 49ers in this one. And it was, you know, the first quarter was the Eagles doing what the Eagles do. You know, they're playing solid defense. They were moving the football, but they had to settle for field goals. You know, first drive, 12 plays, 67 yards. Drive stalls out at the San Francisco 8-yard line. They have to kick the field goal. Elliott hits it from 26 yards out. The 49ers' first two drives, 2-3 and outs, 6 plays, negative 6 yards. And it's funny how the number 6 would play into the rest of the football game, because their first two drives, 6 plays for negative 6 yards. Their next 6 drives resulted in touchdowns, every single one of them. And, you know, even with the next drive with the Eagles, 12 plays, 53 yards, get all the way down to the San Fran 21. So just outside the red zone, settling for that second field goal. Then the second punt drive for the Niners. And then the next 6 times the 49ers have the football, they score touchdowns. The only time they didn't score after those first two drives was when they were kneeling off the ball at the end of the game. Outside of that, every time they had the football, they scored a touchdown. And the thing about it is that every one of these drives was a will-imposing march down the field. So some of the drives were shorter. There was one that only took 5 plays. There was one that only took 7. But there's one for 10. There's one 11 plays. There's one for 12 plays where they're just moving the ball down the field, running the ball, throwing the ball. You know, how the 49ers and Shanahan love their switches and their motions and, you know, pre-snap this and all that kind of stuff. And they did it all on the Eagles and just moved it right down the field. I mean, it was getting to the point where it's like, which one is the 10-1 team and which one is the team that went on a 3-game losing streak at one point during this season? Because it didn't really look like those records belonged to the right teams in this game. You know, the 49ers, their first touchdown drive, 11 plays, 85 yards. And that one was capped off by the Brandon Ayuk pass from Purdy. And Purdy was masterful in the game. 19 of 27, 314, 4 touchdowns, 0 picks. So, again, the thing that was killing them in their 3-game losing streak was Purdy started turning over to football. And in the four games they've won since then, I don't think Purdy's turned over the ball more than once in those four, like total, in those 4 games. I think Purdy's only turned the ball over 1 time. And that was the thing about what the Niners were doing to Philly, is that Philly wasn't turning over the ball. they were just not able to do anything offensively. And you know, yeah, the Eagles, or Hurts got sacked three times by the Eagles, but it wasn't like he was constantly under, because the Eagles arguably still have the best offensive line in football. So the fact that the Niners got three sacks on them, it says a lot. But at the same time, you know, it wasn't like Philly turned the ball over a ton or anything like that. It was like after they scored that second field goal to go up 6-0, the next drive was three and out. The following drive, six plays, 14 yards, they punt the ball back. The Niners scored their second touchdown. You know, first drive of the second half, 10 plays, 58 yards, touchdown. Great. Now it's 21 because the 49ers scored 21-6. So now it's back to a one-score game, 21-13. Well, then the 49ers went five plays, 77 yards, and made it 28-13. Then Philly punted, giving the ball back to the 49ers, who did what? Scored their fifth touchdown in a row. Philly scores another touchdown, makes it 35-19. But it's like the 49ers answered every single time with a touchdown. And it's obviously what they did was not realistic as far as, you know, it's not sustainable to score a touchdown on every single drive. But the 49ers could do no wrong offensively, and the Eagles could do no right. I mean, it wasn't like this was a game where the refs really screwed Philly, or Philly had stupid penalties that kept, you know, extending the drive, you know, like you've seen the Bears do many, many times where, oh, we stopped them on third and five, but there was a legal hands to the face, or there was a holding call, or some, you know, piss poor roughing penalty or something like that. The 49ers just kept moving the ball down the field, one play after another, and one drive after another, six in a row, in fact, resulted in touchdowns, you know. And it was like Philly kicked an onside kick after their last touchdown when they made it 35-19. And after that, two plays, 48 yards, I think it was Deebo Samuel that broke one for like 45 yards and a touchdown. Yeah, Purdy pass, short pass left, Deebo Samuel, 46 yards. So yeah, that was his third touchdown of the game. So yeah, Samuel ran for one and caught two. Four catches, 116 yards, two touchdowns for Deebo Samuel. So yeah, it was San Francisco was in a class all their own on Sunday. They really just dominated what was supposed to be that like marquee matchup of the season up to this point, was these two, arguably the two best teams in the league, going head to head with one another. Because the AFC, even though they're very top heavy with their records, has really turned into a mess. You know, I think Miami is number one in the AFC now after winning again on Sunday. And with the Chiefs losing, they're 8-4, so they're like the 3 seed now. With the Jags losing, they're 4, you know, and things like that. And you know, it's only on the NFC side that we have, you know, 9 and 10 win teams now. So it's so the Niners and the Eagles and hell, even the Cowboys are playing some really outstanding football. But if I'm putting a power ranking together, I'm picking the 49ers to be the best team in the NFL. So, and even though I really thought this was going to be more of a fight, more of a war, and a much closer football game than it ended up being, I put one on the 49ers, so it wasn't that big a deal, win or lose. But I got the pick right, so in the pick six this week, Larry D's undefeated. So there you have it, guys, the pick six for week number 13. There's only two teams on the bye next week for week 14, so we'll have a five-game pick six, and then from week 15 through the end of the season, we'll have six games in the pick six each week. Maybe. We'll see. It's like maybe we'll just stick to four and everything. It's, you know, even with only 13 games, I had trouble finding three games to feature. As a matter of fact, it was more like I had trouble finding two more games other than San Francisco and Philly to feature. So maybe that I'll run into that problem again, and we'll just be like, we'll talk about these games, and the rest will be in the all-out blitz. So speaking of the all-out blitz, let's go ahead and get the show closed out, wrapping up the rest of the Week 13 schedule with this week's all-out blitz. All-out blitz for week number 13. We begin in Tennessee, Colts and Titans. The Titans were game with their best offensive output in 6 weeks. But even that wasn't enough as the Colts answered Tennessee's overtime field goal with a walk-off Michael Pittman touchdown to keep their wild card spot with a 31-28 win over the Titans. Chargers at Patriots. Not much to say here. There were 6 points scored between the two teams. Chargers win 6-0. Who cares? Detroit at New Orleans. The Lions got off to a 21-0 first quarter lead and then spent the game staying in front of New Orleans. The Saints made a 28-12 run the rest of the way, but it wasn't enough as the Lions hang on 33-28. Atlanta at the Jets. The Jets continue to be the most lopsided team in the NFL. Their championship-level defense scored a safety, allowed less than 200 yards of offense and only 13 points, and still lost because their offense is absolute trash. 13-8 for the Falcons. Arizona at Pittsburgh. Here's proof that the football gods have a glorious sense of humor. A desert-bound dome team came into a rainy, cold Pittsburgh and took the Steelers to the woodshed 24-10. Very funny, guys. Carolina, in their first game under interim head coach Chris Tabor, the Panthers put in a game effort against the Buccaneers, but in the end it wasn't enough as the Bucs escaped with a 21-18 divisional win. Miami at Washington. I said this one could get ugly, and ugly it was. But Miami took their foot off the gas after a 31-7 halftime lead, then cruised to a 45-15 win over the Commanders. Cleveland at the Rams. Even the veteran Joe Flacco couldn't get the Browns offense going, and the defense couldn't overcome the Rams' fourth quarter onslaught as the Rams take it 36-19. Kansas City at Green Bay. Jordan Love outplayed Patrick Mahomes with 267 yards, 3 touchdowns, and no picks, as Green Bay's third straight win gets them in the NFC playoff discussion with their 27-19 upset of the Chiefs. And finally, on Monday Night Football, Cincinnati at Jacksonville. Backup QB Jake Browning went 32 of 37 for 354 and a touchdown to outduel Trevor Lawrence, and it still took overtime for the Bengals to outlast the Jags 34-31. Man, those buzzers, the three at the end, man, that sucks so bad. All you heard for the long, you know, all but once going into those final three games, all you heard was, blah, 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 here's my pick. You know, it's like, come on, man. And then it was like 9-1, and then those last three games were. Ugh, what a bastard. Damn it. Gotta love the NFL, though, man. Find a way to rip your heart out every single time if you let them. So anyway, guys, that is going to do it for the Week 13 review of the fourth phase. Come back on Thursday when we'll preview Week 14 of the NFL schedule, and we'll have at least 4 games in the pick six. Maybe we'll do 5 since we got 15 games. It's the last bye of the season that goes to Arizona and Washington, both teams that could definitely use a break, even though Arizona's coming off of a win. I know the Commanders could definitely use a break after giving up 45 points in 2 straight games to the Cowboys on Thanksgiving and then 45 more to the Dolphins. And like they said, the Dolphins took their foot off the gas in the second half. So that could have been another 70-point game for them, I believe, if they had just done what they wanted to in the second half of that ball game. But like I said, come back on Thursday, and we'll preview Week 14, and then on Friday, we'll get you ready for the Bears-Lions rematch, this time in Soldier Field. And our good friend Jeremy Reisman from Pride of Detroit from SB Nation will be here to help us preview that matchup. So, I mean, he was the one who tried to tell us going into this thing. He's like, I think the Bears have more of a shot than people think they do going into this one. And, you know, if not for that final 4 minutes, the Bears could have easily walked away with a victory in that one, which means that Jeremy will probably be, you know, kind of, I don't want to say afraid, but definitely nervous about this game, this rematch in Soldier Field. The Lions typically do not play well in Chicago. They win sometimes. They won last year. But it's always a very well-contested matchup, which is why for all the years that I've had him on my show, Jeremy and I have always said that this is the rivalry in the NFC North. This is where you have games that where the outcome isn't predetermined, you know. So we'll see how the game turns out. We'll talk to Jeremy, see how he feels about this one. You know, did they bounce back against the Saints, or did the fact that they were up 28-0 and had to hang on for a 33-28 win make him nervous going into this Chicago game as well? So come on back Thursday for a Week 14 preview of the fourth phase, and then we got Bears-Lions preview on Friday. So come on back for that. And until then, my name is Larry D. This has been the fourth phase, and we will see you next time.